Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 is just one verse from the first reading today. I'll read the rest of the reading for you shortly. Verse 29 reads it this way. This is the prayer of the disciples. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Let us pray. O little flock, fear not the foe who madly seeks your overthrow. Dread not his rage and power. What though your courage sometimes faints, his seeming triumph over God's saints lasts but a little hour. Amen. Please be seated. A prayer to shake things up. About 6 years ago, there was a little prayer, a little two-sentence prayer from the book of First Chronicles that really shook things up. And I should say this prayer shook things up in the publishing world. It was the prayer of Jabez. There was an author that wrote a little book about this prayer in which he depicted God as some kind of a Santa Claus in the sky who just can't seem to say no to his children and who will give them whatever they want. And so from this book he says things like, he will give you a job on a cruise ship if that's what you want. He will keep your teenagers away from bad company. Well, he will even delay a connecting flight for you if that's what you need. Never mind the other Christians on that flight who need to get somewhere, but for you, he will delay a connecting flight. Oh, that prayer really shook things up, all right. It shook a whole lot of people free of millions of their hard-earned dollars. That fad, thankfully, has faded. Now this book you can find in the bargain bin at the bookstore or even for free on the internet. But for a prayer that can really shake things up, you don't need some author to write a book for you, and you don't need an internet connection. Just look at the prayer of the disciples in Acts chapter 4. And allow me to set the scene for you so that you can kind of catch up. The disciples in chapter 4 are still dealing with the fallout of having healed this lame beggar in the temple courts at the beautiful gate. You remember the story. Peter was in the temple courts one day, and he saw this beggar, born lame. He had been lame all the years of his life, sitting there begging at the beautiful gate. And Peter said, I don't have any money to give to you, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. And he was seen in the temple courts, walking and leaping and praising God. And of course, all of these people had gathered around. And they were amazed at this miraculous healing. And that's when Peter seized the moment to proclaim that Jesus Christ, in whose name this man had been healed, is the same Christ these people had earlier crucified. But God had raised him from the dead. And now in his name there is full and free forgiveness of sin. Well, this preaching in the name of Jesus sparked the ire and the rage of the religious leaders, who then had Peter and John arrested and thrown into jail overnight, and in the morning brought them before the Sanhedrin to face criminal charges, preaching in the name of Jesus, which they considered to be blasphemy. In the end, the Sanhedrin didn't know what to do with these men. They were becoming very popular. And so they threatened them, warned them not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, and let them go. That's where the reading from Acts 4 picks up today with the 23rd verse. Upon their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised up their voices together in prayer to God. And now here comes the prayer that'll shake things up. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then he quotes Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. What was so powerful about this prayer that it shook up the place where the disciples were gathered? As I was thinking about that question, I found something very remarkable about this prayer. Do you notice what the disciples did not ask in this prayer? They did not ask for those who were breathing threats against them to be eliminated. They didn't say to God, God, wipe out my enemies. Wipe them off the face of the earth. They did not pray that. Instead, they said, oh God, you are greater than your enemies. And so please consider their threats and do whatever you wish. Only make me a faithful servant and a bold witness. Can you hear the sense of calm in their words and in their hearts as they pray that prayer? You know, there's an old saying that goes like this. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm, but sometimes He lets the storm rage and calms His child. In the midst of this storm of threats and plots and rage and imprisonment, these disciples had been calmed by their Savior. This was the calm of some men who knew who their good shepherd was and who rested in Him. They had learned this sense of calm at the school of adversity. Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Jewish leaders and the people of the city had all conspired together against Jesus, a formidable and a fearsome array of enemies that seemingly even God could not stop. And so Jesus died. But then on Sunday, as these disciples were gathered together for fear behind locked doors and windows, there is Jesus among them, standing among them, and He breathes His peace upon them, and He breathes His Spirit into them. And slowly these disciples begin to come to this Easter realization, the realization of Psalm 2. You know, so what? Nations may conspire, peoples may plot, kings may take their stand, and rulers may gather together, all against Christ. All of these enemies against Christ and His church. But then the psalm says, the one who sits enthroned in heaven laughs at them. He laughs at them. Because it turns out that all of the plotting that the enemies of Christ did only ended up doing what God wanted them to do. And in their very efforts to snuff out the Lord of life, they in fact gave the Lord His throne and His kingdom. This is the way Peter said it in the sermon that got him into all of this trouble in the first place. He said, this is how God fulfilled what He had foretold through the prophets, saying that the Christ would suffer. All of that plotting against Christ only fulfilled God's plan for Christ. That He would come and suffer in our place. That He would be bloodied and bruised and beaten for our sins. That He would be chastised for our guilt. And that He would die the death that we deserved. And that He would then rise again and make a newness of life possible for all of us. An eternity of life possible for us. It was all by God's design. And it turns out that kings and rulers and conspirators, for all of their power and cunning, were really just stooges in God's plan. Pawns who never stood a chance against God's anointed one. Their plotting to destroy the church only fulfilled God's plan to redeem the church. Those are the thoughts that are behind this amazing prayer of the disciples in Acts chapter 4. A prayer that they learned at the Academy of Calvary and again at the graduate school of the Garden Tomb. A prayer that says this, God, I refuse to worry anymore about the enemies of my faith. There is no need for me to worry because you are risen and I am forgiven. My destiny is secure, so I will fear nothing. I leave them to you, O God, those enemies. Consider their threats. Just make me a faithful servant and a bold witness. And the place shook. And it's a prayer that will shake up your life too. You see, Christians, we live with way too much fear in our lives. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And insofar as we have fears in this life, we have really not grasped what God's love means for us. There is nothing for us to fear, and yet we live with our fears. We live with our fears, too many of them. We're afraid of what people might think of us. We're afraid they might make fun of us. We're afraid of being called right-wing zealots. We're afraid we might be rejected because of our faith. And then we're also afraid of severe trials. We're afraid of a bad economy, of losing our job. We're afraid of disease. We're afraid of the aging process. We're afraid of dying. We're afraid of being left alone. All of these things that conspire against us to bring us down and to destroy our faith in God. Oh, to be able to pray, God, you deal with my enemies. You consider their threats. Just make me faithful and bold in my witness. Oh, to know that the events of life never spin out of God's control, but they all have a good purpose. Even our trials, even the attacks of our enemy. These things have come, says St. Peter. These things have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, may be proved genuine. And of course, all things must work for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. There's a story of two explorers who were on a jungle safari when suddenly a ferocious lion jumped out on the path in front of them and snarled at them. And so the one man said, keep calm. Remember what we read in the book about wild animals. Just stand still and stare the lion in the eye and he will turn and run. And his friend said, well, sure, you read the book but I read the book. But did the lion read the book? Well, I don't know about lions. But I do know about the lion who prowls and seeks to devour you. About this enemy of your faith that seeks to frighten you in whatever way possible out of your faith. You see, Revelation tells us, and we've been reading about this in our Bible study on Sundays. Revelation tells us that Satan is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. And I wonder if part of Satan's rage isn't because Christ made such a complete fool out of him. He did his absolute worst to destroy Jesus. But instead, he ended up fulfilling God's plan for our salvation through Jesus. What a buffoon. What a complete stooge. Yes, he's angry. He has read the book. He does know the outcome. And he can't do anything about it. So all he can do is create problems in your life and try to scare you right out of your faith. But don't let him shake you up. You shake him up with your prayer. I would suggest a prayer like Psalm 27, which thematically is so close to the prayer of the disciples in Acts 4. Listen again to these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. In other words, God, my enemies are so many and so powerful, but You are more powerful. You deal with them, God. You consider their threats. Just make me a faithful servant and a bold witness. That's a prayer that's going to shake up your life. In the precious name of our risen Savior, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond human understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.